Hello, everybody. We are here for our third podcast talking about episode 703 of Queen Sugar. And I have two great guests today that everybody's going to be excited to hear lots about. I'm going to start off with Regan Gomez, who has been such a joy to have on the show.
Oh, thank you.
She's peppered in throughout the season.
That's right.
Including this final season, including this episode. Mm-hmm. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I can't wait
to talk to you about the episode.
Let's talk.
We're also joined by one of our dear series regulars who started off just visiting us for a few episodes and stuck around for the entire seven seasons, Bianca Lawson.
Yes.
Hi.
So we like to start off our conversations with overall Queen Sugar, mm-hmm. right? We went down to New Orleans not really knowing what the show was going to really turn into, mm-hmm. not knowing how people were going to bond with the characters. Mm-hmm. But I would love for you guys just to talk about what that experience was like when you first heard about Queen Sugar, and then what was it like after experiencing Queen Sugar?
Well, when I got the call for the audition, I had heard about the show. I was obviously a fan of Ava. I'd met her before, and we were Twitter friends already, so I auditioned for Chantal, and I love the character, and she kind of felt a little bit like me, like I'm a little bit of an activist, and so I was really excited, and then I got the part, and then Ava called me, like, we're so excited to have you, and I was like, absolutely, like, tell me what time to be there, and I've just enjoyed this experience so much, like, coming from the WB and UPN and being in all black shows with writers and stuff, like, it felt like home. Mm-hmm. It felt like home. And I've known Bianca. How long have we?
We were talking about this. So for anyone that doesn't know, this is particularly special. So when Paul told me that Regan was going to be my, you know, partner in this, I was like, oh, fantastic. We've known each other since you were 15 and I was 16.
Yeah.
We did the parenthood together.
We did. And we've seen each other throughout mm-hmm. the years. But I was so excited. And working with Bianca and Rutina, I'd worked with Rutina before, but she's just an amazing partner to work with. The whole cast was great. Like, anytime you guys call me, anytime. I'll be there. So it was a fantastic experience.
What about you?
Oh, okay. So I got the audition and no script or anything, just the sides and the breakdown. And I just thought, oh my goodness, what an interesting character. But originally, she was just supposed to come in for a couple episodes and try to sue for custody and kind of be in and out, almost like a villain, right? And then he goes off with Teacher Bay. So in my mind, I thought, okay, how I haven't gotten to play a character like this, and what would make this interesting and fulfilling for me? And originally in the breakdown, it was like she's stylish and she's glamorous, this and that. And so I go in there and I'm in like no makeup and little jean shorts and a tank top and my Chucks. And because I was like, you know what? I want to like play her real. A woman that's just really trying to make it through the day sober, with no support, by herself, you know, doesn't have time to curl her hair, is just trying to survive those minute-to-minute things of that quiet struggle. She became very sort of dear to me and reminded me of people in my life. And so in a way, it was like a way of honoring them. And so then I went and I did it, and I had my audition with the casting director. And then I did my my callback with Ava, which was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then my chemistry read with Kofi. And I wanted to work with Ava. I wanted to work with Oprah. I didn't know that much about Queen Sugar, but I loved the character, and I wanted to work with them. And so I thought, oh, this will be an interesting thing. And then so after my chemistry with Kofi, so I was kind of like a little burnt out. And I was like, oh, you know, pilot season, how it goes. But I enjoyed my chemistry read with him so much. And not even the scene that we did. It was Aisha Coley, the casting director, had us just improvise anything. And because there was no real backstory for Darla, and Darla isn't in the book, I think the mother is dead.
Yeah.
So we could just create whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what was so fun for me. And I was like, oh, I want to play with this person.
You
this
got
is
to
exciting
create
again.
Create the world together.
Yeah, and it made me a little bit more inspired to act again, because you can kind of have those moments of being burned out and being like, maybe I want to quit, you know? But I thought, oh, maybe I might stay around for one more go. This is fun.
Well, it was amazing, because when we were on set, you the first scene you did, you were with nobody. You were in line answering the phone, right? That was the first scene you shot. The next scene you shot was at the hospital, and it was we were you know, that first season of Queen Sugar, we did lots of Fraturdays, which for people who don't know is when you work overnight from Friday to Saturday morning. Yeah. I think we were chasing the sun. It was coming up. Mm-hmm. We were in this empty parking lot. It had just stormed.
Yeah.
And we were like, we didn't have a lot of time. It was like mm-hmm. 5 a.m. We only had an hour, and we had to shoot this really emotional scene of Darla showing up at Ralph Angel's at the hospital where his father is dying. Mm-hmm. And that that scene was so raw.
Mm.
It was so, the you two had so much energy and so much chemistry together. I remember talking to Ava after, like, wow, you know, this was, it was an amazing scene we shot last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Ava saw the dailies and,
she
it was,
said, let's
it
keep
was
her.
Really soon after that that we were like, man, maybe Darla sticks around for a little
while. I love that.
I remember you saying to me that when you guys saw the dailies, you were like, oh, he hates her so much because he loves her so
yeah.
much.
That's what it felt like.
I love the discovery. I love when moments like that happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there was just a raw kind of Romeo and Juliet element about the two of them, you know, from two different worlds, you know, star-crossed lovers,
mm-hmm.
and circumstance had driven them apart to a point where he hated that he loved you so much. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what it is.
Like, he
yeah.
hated it, but he couldn't help himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the seasons went on and Darla and Ralph Angel found their rhythm together, you know, and they, you know, overcame things that most of the audience were like, I'll never overcome. you know, and I think that leads to this season, which is so amazing as we get to kind of the conclusion of the story and trying to figure out what happens with, you know, Ralph Angel and Darla. Where does their story go? How does it end up? And in this particular episode, you know, this whole season so far, there's been just little seed of something going on where Ralph Angel's trying to figure out how to communicate with Darla, and there's like they've gotten to a point where they now have this child together, which, you know, as you know, is a big deal because the controversy of Blue, that you think it would be easy street, but now it's really down to the core crux of are we going to be together? Do we have what it takes?
Doing the work of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you can't just rely on chemistry and feel, and you got to put the work in. You got to dig deep.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see. I think this, like I said, this episode, you start to see little bits of it.
Well, you know, too, it's funny. Siki, our makeup artist, she was saying to me, she's like, God, after all of this, he's still not trusting her. They're still not communicating, or he's still not communicating with her.
Mm-hmm.
And is still sort of doubting her. And I think in his mind, he's not thinking that. He's just thinking that his ex is more knowledgeable about these matters. And, you know, and she's like, but wait a minute. Are you saying I'm dumb? Like, I understand family business.
Yeah.
I understand. This is all the things that I've been doing. And you're still
denying what you bring to the table.
Yeah, and I think for even with Darla, with the rest of the family leading up to this, it was like a struggle of them just seeing her one way and not really, and can't see, like, beyond that. And she's like, wait a minute, I'm more than that. I'm more than, you know, an addict and this, that, you know, you're still kind of, like, holding these things over my head of, you know, when things are a bit darker.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at that, you play the tape, I've done this and I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing the books for all of the farmers just because she wants to help them.
Mm-hmm.
She's like auditing, you know, their finances and, you know, and that he's still not like acknowledging sort of like all of that work that would actually make her a good candidate to be able to run this business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still that kind of that doubt that's really, you know.
Yeah. When I look at the way that the characters interact and compare it to just relationships, it feels like Ralph Angel's still in that weird place where it's mine and hers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not finding that ours, us, that we're doing this, the unity of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting this season to see how that resolves. Can he work that out?
Mm-hmm.
Does that inherently bring them closer?
Yeah.
Does that drive them apart? Yeah. What that does. But outside of Ralph Angel, it seems like the rest of the family has kind of accepted Darla.
Yeah. There was a beautiful scene. I just watched it before I came with Violet. And, you know, and her saying to me, like, give me my flowers, you know, even though it doesn't matter that Ralph Angel, you know, you've done this, you can do this, you are worthy of this, step into your power. Like, you don't need the validation.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that you are it. And then apologizes to her for, you know, for doubting her and making it so hard, and which I think was really fantastic, because I think a lot of people, they don't get that. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't get that. They just have to sort of like forgive and move on.
Yeah.
But the fact that Aunt Vi gave her that.
Yeah.
You know,
and Vi was her biggest critic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the first few seasons, you know, Vi couldn't even be in the same room with her.
And I love that turnaround for Aunt Vi, because it can be so difficult to marry into a family and you don't have your own. You're marrying into an already established family, and everyone has eyes on you. Everyone is looking at every mistake that you made. Mm-hmm. So I love how she's turned around like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough in a normal family. Imagine, you know, this family, which is so close in it, and Darla comes in such controversy. And they're so productive of Ralph Angel that now they look at Darla as really part of the Bordelons in a real way. I think it's such a big arc to happen.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Bordelons, and let's talk about one of the other characters, which is Nova and Chantel. So, equally, first season, we meet Chantel in a radio station, I think, is the first scene. And immediately Nova's attracted to her because Nova's Nova. So tell us kind of about the Nova-Chantel chemistry.
You know, they did first initially meet over their activism. They're both in the activism space. But once they got to know each other, there were sparks there. And I people come up to me all the time, like, we loved you together. Older women, you know, come up to me all the time, like, oh, my God, I loved you on the show. So they had a lot in common, but I think Nova, she does everything hard. She loves hard. She fights hard. She's very passionate about what she wants, but I think that gets her in trouble a lot of the time. And I think I was the conscience for her, kind of checking her when she was doing a little bit too much or not listening, you know. So, but also I think that's why we fell out, which happens. I mean,
it does.
You know, it happens when you're in a relationship with someone. Once you get over what the lust and the sex, and you're looking at the person and talking to the person, that's what a relationship is. We hold each other accountable and we tell each other when we're wrong or whatever. So Nova wasn't ready for that yet.
Well, even though the intimate relationship was over, Nova still, I think, Chantel, I think, stood out amongst all the different love interests that we've seen her.
Did
I? Yeah, she stood out. She's still there. And in this episode, you know, she's there meeting the next person. And having, you know, that moment of like, oh, well, let me tell you something about her.
I see where you're messing up. I see where you're messing up with this guy who you say you really, really love. And I can tell he loves you, too. So let me be your friend. Mm-hmm. Let me be your friend and tell you what you don't want to hear, but that you need to hear to adjust what's going on. Because if you want this to work, you got to cut that out. You got to cut that out. So Chantel is really, really good for that. And I love their friendship. I love that they can be honest with each other. And I love that they can take breaks. But when they come back together, it's like, you know,
like they never were apart and they can still talk frankly. And I think Chantel was great because that mix of activism, which is so close to who Nova is as a person, hearing that frank language, hearing it from somebody she respects is not something that she gets a lot of.
Well, yeah, because she's used to being in charge wherever she commands control wherever she goes. So she's not used to having someone to be like, actually, that's not correct. So, but I think that's why she values the friendship, because I tell her the truth.
Yeah.
Chantel tells her the truth. Yeah.
So what do you think, though? I mean, Nova, even in this season, we've met a couple of new people that Nova kind of, you know, like, oh, who's this? Is Nova going to settle down? Is Nova ever going
to
settle down?
You know, I don't know. I think Nova still has a lot of work to do on herself. And I think until she figures out what it is that she wants and her behavior reflects that and how she is in relationships reflects that, I don't know. I don't know. It's gonna be up to her, I think.
I feel like for Nova, it's like almost like a deeper thing than just knowing what she wants. It's like she has this thing of like running, right? She has this like fear of becoming like dependent on someone. So it's like once they get too close, she gotta go. Gotta be somebody else, right?
With everyone, So she has to figure that out. Mm-hmm. She has to figure that out. No one can fix what's happening inside of you. Mm-hmm. And I think she may be going from, you know, she may be looking for her partners to fix her. But once there's any kind of you're wrong, we need to stop, she does run. Yeah, so she has some work to do, as we all do.
As we all do. So what do you think, though, about Nova's growth over the seasons? from the book
yeah.
to now there's an opportunity possibly for a movie.
Yeah.
Do you think Nova should take advantage of that?
Speaking from Chantel's point of view. Well, you know, it's Nova is who she is, and what you can't stop what she's passionate about. I mean, she's mm-hmm. passionate about things, and that's why we love her. I just hope that she knows how to navigate a little bit more respectfully for other people's feelings and what other people are thinking. So we'll see, because, you know, she has a lot of work to do. She has a lot of work to do. I have faith in her, though.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
So this season, we have added, I'm always, the first couple of years was so great when we had Ethan as such a young child on set.
Oh, yeah.
This year, we added a new child on set.
Yes, who I love.
What was that like, working with a baby on set?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, well, you know, each baby is its own soul, its own mm-hmm. personality, and our fittings overlapped. So I got to spend some good time with JC and her grandmother and bond, and she's just so like confident and loving. And her grandmother actually told me that JC was a twin and her brother died while they were both still inside of her. And she's like, that's why JC's so tough, because she's already had such hardship, you know? And I think there is a kind of like old soul about her. Mm-hmm. And so she's my favorite new co-star. She's my favorite new co-star. And she was so great. And I mean, just her little face and... You know, and she's not going to give you, like, 50,000 takes, but she will give you a perfect one. And be like, okay. Mm-hmm. But I loved her. I loved it.
Yeah, she was interesting on set because you would try to get her to smile or to laugh, and sometimes she would just deadpan
look at you.
She would just look at you like, why are you doing that in front of me? Yeah. But I thought it was great in episode two at the end. There were so many people who had comments when we shot that scene and she was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we shot a scene while she's actually asleep. You can hear her snoring on the production track.
I wanted them to keep that, and I thought it was cute.
It was so real. It was like this, you know, they were in bed together, the baby sleep. And she's really knocked out in the scene. Like, wow. You know, it's amazing.
Were you nervous about, because babies can be, you can't control them.
No, not at all. Funny enough, I was more concerned, like, when I first started the show, and I'm like, oh, you know, I haven't been around a lot of kids, and I'm not maternal, and am I going to be, you know, with Ethan, but I was like, Darla doesn't really know how to be a mother. And, you know, and I love working with Ethan, and it kind of worked, it was kind of perfect in a way. And now Ethan's like 6 feet tall and 35.
Right.
But no, I wasn't actually. I was looking forward to it. And, you know, once I met her, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And Kofi and I would fight over who gets to hold her in the scene. It'd be written that Darla holds her and Kofi would find a reason to be like, well, no, but I think Ralph Angel would have a stick. So no. I looked forward to those days when I'm like, oh, Daisy's going to be in the scene. Fantastic. Aww, yeah.
It was nice having a baby on set again.
Yeah.
What was your experience like being in New Orleans for all that time?
Oh my goodness. I in the beginning, it's like, you know, a place is different when you're just visiting, right? And you're popping in and popping out. But I really noticed that, like, after season six and going back to LA, I realized that New Orleans felt more like my home than my actual home. And the people are incredibly warm and incredibly helpful. And so I sort of had this whole little community that had built up that I didn't even realize, you know? And I know, like, none of my neighbors really in my building that I lived in here for 10 years, but I knew, like, all my neighbors in my building in New Orleans. Yeah. And so I loved it, and I think it lended itself to a kind of texture and an energy where you maybe couldn't recreate that somewhere else, you know, because you're in New Orleans and the weather and the people and the food, and it's a very spiritual place.
Oh, yeah.
And it's different, you know, it's different. And so I loved it, and I'm happy we did it there. I mean, you know, being on the plantation with, the thunder strikes and all those things and the rain.
Yeah.
But
the weather,
again, I think it may be like, you, even if you're not aware of it, there's something that it adds sort of in the background.
Spiritual.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, a lot of shows don't go to the locations where they're supposed to be. You know, they don't film in the real place. I think that was one of the unique qualities of shooting Queen Sugar in New Orleans, in, you know, shooting out at the farm in those river parishes, shooting in the Lower Ninth. I mean, that first season when you were working on the show, we were shooting Nova's house in the Lower Ninth at a house.
Oh, yeah. And we saw, like, houses with the numbers on them still from Katrina and all of that. Like, to see, you know, the stuff on the news, but then to see it in person, it brings something really, yeah. It's, and just my, can I talk about my experience?
Absolutely.
Because I had never been to New Orleans before.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Never been to, and it's, I just love the South kind of period, but New Orleans, I've really been wanting to go. So when my first time there, I think I worked 4 days, but I was there for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of time to explore the city. And you're absolutely right. It's the people are so warm, but mm-hmm. there is something in the air. And, you know, my parents were born and raised in Detroit, and I grew up in Philly and then Los Angeles, and being there and being, you know, on plantations and stuff, mm-hmm. there's, you want to be respectful, and mm-hmm. you want to, you know, you feel whatever it is in the air. And it may actually, it, I want to bring my whole family back.
Yeah.
I want to, yeah, yeah, I do.
Yeah, my kids adopted New Orleans because yeah. we were there so often. Mm-hmm. And I'm like you, I realized at one point where I'm driving around New Orleans, I'm driving on like a local.
You know where you going, yeah.
Navigation. I'm just like, hey, let me head over there. And they'd be like, yeah, it's this address. I know where that is, you know. but it definitely, something about the history, the people, the culture, yeah. something about it just feels natural, feels mm-hmm. comfortable to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I a lot of times I'd be walking somewhere and I'd see a plaque and it'd be like, you know, this very spot where I was standing would be a slave market.
The history.
You know,
yeah.
and I was like, mm-hmm. wow, there were enslaved people who stood right here, who were sold, that lives were altered right here.
Yeah.
And just being able to trace that back to that one environment and know that people are still there, living strong, they mm-hmm. survived it.
Absolutely.
Is just super important.
Yeah.
You know, just that connection. Which I had, one of the reasons shooting that show there was so important is that we could stay connected to,
yeah.
to the stories, to the people, to the land.
Well,
you know?
And I also feel like New Orleans is like, it is a character in the show. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
It is.
It's like
yeah,
it's a character. Mm-hmm. So having all of that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It adds to mm-hmm. it. You couldn't have done it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It wouldn't have felt the same.
It was important for us,
yeah.
but I think it was important for the fans, too, because there were so many people who come up to us now and say, thanks for showing New Orleans in that way. It's
yeah.
not just about Bourbon Street and
yeah.
not just about Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, family and culture and things that you just don't normally see.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we were filming that first season, somewhere we were filming, we came back season two just to scout it and check it out. And as soon as we walked in, the owner of this establishment walked up and says, hey, welcome back. And we're like, thanks. And, you know, the first season, nobody knew what we were
yeah.
shooting. Nobody heard of Queen Sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of our actors were people that they didn't recognize mm-hmm. on the street. And the lady said, when is Kofi, no, they said, when is Ralph Angel and Darla going to come over?
Oh,
and this is the place where we used to shoot the restaurant. And we were like, they were here all the time. And they were like, really? But they've really bonded with those characters.
Yeah.
Like, they felt like they were from there.
Yeah. yeah. Anytime I would go out to eat, the staff would always be like, are you back? You know, but yeah the people yeah. are invested.
They were,
they
yeah.
They are, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we were always anchored. It was interesting. Every year we shot, we were always anchored with Essence Fest.
Yeah.
So it was always like the bookend for us. Mm-hmm. By the end of the season, Essence Fest was starting. And
mm-hmm.
and it was getting close to when we would air, you know, whatever season it was at the time. So it always just felt like a natural time to leave. But mm-hmm. it's going to be weird not having to go back, though.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, no matter what's happening in between the seasons, I know around February what I'm going to be doing. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, we just finished filming and we're still kind of talking about it. So it's mm-hmm. still in the ether.
In your spirit.
It's still in the auric field. So I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
So at the end of this episode, we have an event called a ring shout. Where they're paying honor to the land, mm-hmm. to the history of the land. This season is a pickup from last season when we found out that there were people buried on the land from the Thibodaux Massacre, which is how the Bordelones were trying to protect the land from the evil Landrys.
Mm-hmm.
And this ring shout was to pay respect to that. But let's just talk as we talk about the land and the connection that the show has to the land, just that history that, you know, was able to be integrated throughout all the seasons of Queen Sugar, mm-hmm. Bringing in, you know, ownership of land, the history of enslavement,
mm-hmm.
The connection of sharecropping to ownership. All those things seem to be kind of happening and reaching a climax in our series finale. Mm-hmm. But in this episode, in the middle of the ring shout, Landry shows up, mm-hmm. which he just seems to have a tendency to show up at events. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about that relationship or the parallel between the Queen Sugar storyline mm-hmm. and cast members mm-hmm. and what really happened and is still happening to people in that area?
I mean, well, we were just talking about this, about how, you know, the storyline with Parthena and sort of the companies coming in and kind of knowing sort of the loopholes and being able to get away with things and take the land from these people, like, mm-hmm. illegally, mm-hmm. but yet doing it in a way that still seems legal. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening now mm-hmm. with Love Black Farmers. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, that sort of parallel of, like, what's happening in Queen Sugar is also kind of talking about what's happening in real life at the same time mm-hmm. Is a really special thing. Because I think these kinds of shows don't really talk about those things, right? Yeah. They don't really get into it, you know? And so I think that's another reason why people feel so connected to the show.
I'd never seen the Bring Shout on TV before. Yeah. Ever. I'd never seen anything like that. And mm-hmm. and you felt it when we were on set. You felt mm-hmm. it. And I think we live in such an individualist society where it's about me, mine. So to see something like that and remind you, you are a part of the earth. You mm-hmm. are a part of this land. You mm-hmm. are a part of the history that has happened on this earth, and it affects you today. Mm-hmm. I think it's really powerful. I think that scene in the episode is really, really powerful. And a reminder for people, like for me, who is not from the South, like sometimes we can forget. Mm-hmm. People are going through their own things everywhere we live, but to be reminded, like, wow, this mm-hmm. is who we, where we came from, mm-hmm. how strong we are, and like how we're still having to fight, but we're ready for the fight, yeah. and we're, we mm-hmm. show up to the fight ready. So yeah. it was really powerful. I'm getting chills. It was really powerful. It was really powerful. Yeah.
I think one of the great things that the show has been able to do over the years is stay connected to kind of current events yeah. and to the vibe of what people are thinking or feeling. And I always kind of felt like that whole connection to, you know, the farmer's plight mm-hmm. to what was happening in the story was so interesting because, in general, I think we as a country are still trying to grasp with power of who's in charge yeah. and feeling like you don't have power to protect yourself, to protect your family. Mm-hmm. And how do I preserve the ability to provide for my family? How do mm-hmm. I have lineage? How do I own land to mm-hmm. pass down? Mm-hmm. And those are all things that are such good conversational points that I hope that as people watch the series, mm-hmm. as they watch the show, as they watch the season, they come out on the other side having those conversations with their family.
Yeah.
You know, talking about like, wow, maybe we should, as a family, own something. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should have something to pass down mm-hmm. to our next generation. Mm-hmm. So often we look at, you know, especially people of color, and it's very, you're frozen in time. It's very about yeah. the specific moment that you're showing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very about just right now, mm-hmm. But not about the past and the present and the mm-hmm. future all wrapped up in mm-hmm. one.
Right.
And I think that Ring Shout really visualizes that, right? It's current day. It's people now, but it's the hope of what could be based on where we've been.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's like a momentum, like a movement, like yes. it's a direction.
And it changes your thought process on what do you want? What do you want for your family? Yeah. What do you, like you said, do you want to hand down something to your children or grandchildren? Or if something happened to your grandparents and they lost something, can we go back and get it back?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. you know, but I, yeah, yeah.
So, as we get ready to wrap up, I do have some questions for you guys.
Oh, gosh.
When Darla and Ralph Angel got married, mm-hmm. There was a, it started, the wedding started with a famous quote.
Oh, gosh.
In the flush of love's light, we dare be brave. Who said that quote?
Oh, my gosh. I don't. Mm. I have no, who is it?
If you had to guess, I mean, it's okay to guess.
Oh, my gosh. It could be anybody.
Bianca's like, don't look at me.
Oh, my gosh. I know you know. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Who is it?
Maya Angelou.
You know, I should have just.
I told you guess. I knew it was there.
Okay.
I could see it.
But I was like, I don't know. Okay. All right.
All right. What was the, before Ralph Angel and Darla's new baby was named, was announced in 701, some people were calling her, and there was a color that they were calling her.
Color.
Yeah, and there's a
people in life or people in the show?
In the show. Yeah, yeah. And there was another name they used, and I'll use the other name and then maybe you'll pick the color. The name was Tweet.
The name was Tweet. Famous tweet. Yeah. Blue? No, it can't be blue. Violet?
Tweet.
Tweet.
Yellow?
Yes.
I don't remember anybody calling her yellow.
They called her Tweet. Which I guess was
another
name.
I was going to say red. I was going to say red.
Like a bird.
Like red bone, but I don't know.
There was something that somebody said. I guess it was in Twitter. People compliment the show in interesting ways. Mm-hmm. There are people who talk about the cinematography because people feel like it doesn't ever get recognition for the beautiful gorgeous, images. Yeah. Talk about the writing, you know, talk about the acting. Something about Queen Sugar, which I'd never heard of before, and it was so wonderful that I just feel like I have to mention it. They say we should win. It's an award that they think we should win, which is the most moisturized cast.
I agree. It's the sexy sweat because of the humidity. I agree.
The most what do you think about that? Do you feel very moisturized when you're on set?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do. But I feel, but not as much as like, you know, Kofi, you know.
Yeah.
Butter just.
I know.
Drenched, yeah, right?
You know.
People never see that. I mean, it's so funny. You're absolutely right. Kofi, we spend more time keeping him from sweating.
Yeah.
He sweats off all his makeup.
But I almost like that's real, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're so there, hot. That's what we're doing. You're sweating. Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
And we always shoot in the middle of the summer, so it's always super hot. Yeah. This year was so hot. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming down and sharing the time with us about Queen Sugar. We're looking forward to the next episode. Is there anything you want to say as we leave?
I am excited for the fans and the viewers to see the rest of the episodes because I know it's coming. Mm. And so there's a couple episodes I'm like, I cannot wait to watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see how people are going to react and how they feel about the rest of the journey with these characters this season.
Well, I know you don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season.
I don't. I'm so going to be live-tweeting.
Yeah, you're going to be live-tweeting with the rest of us.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate you coming also.
Thank you.
Hope to see you guys again soon.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.